Hola y bienvenido a Planeta Stella. I am your host, Veronica Vilsky, and today I am speaking with Brittany Curio from Moreno Valley, California. Brittany's in her final week of her 12-week Spanish program, and she studied in 5 of our 6 school locations, which is impressive. Brittany, welcome, and how does it feel to be at the end of your Spanish immersion journey?
Hi, Veronica. Thank you. It feels surreal. I can't believe that the time has gone by so quickly. And I can't believe I'm wrapping up my trip here in South America.
In what order of cities did you study?
I started in Lima, Peru, and then went to Cusco. Then I went to Santiago, Chile, Viña del Mar, Chile. And then I've been the past 4 weeks in Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Nice. What made you decide to choose Spanish as a language to learn?
Well, both of my parents are Hispanic, so I grew up with the language, but I wanted just to further practice my conversation aspect of it. And so personally, and then also professionally, since I use Spanish a lot in my job, working with a lot of Hispanic population in Southern California.
So have you seen ways that the Spanish now will help you, especially at your job and at home?
Definitely. I plan to only speak Spanish once I go back home, so my 3 months mm-hmm. here wasn't a wash, but and utilize my parents as much as I can. But yeah, definitely right. in my workplace, I feel that I'll be more comfortable talking about more subjects and topics than I used to. So I feel like I'll be more comfortable with that.
Good. Yeah. What support did you have from your parents then in learning Spanish?
A lot of support. They were very, you know, my mom was very much, go, go, go for as long as you can. But my dad was more scared since I was traveling alone to South America, and it was like a whole new world to me. But they were both very supportive, so that helped a lot. And it became almost like daily phone calls because they were so excited to hear how my day went and what I learned. So that was
nice.
Fun, yeah.
Good old parents.
Yes, good old parents. And,
did you do that via Skype, or how did you communicate with people back home?
I actually, because I have an iPhone and so do they, so I actually found out that the iMessages and FaceTime was free as long as I had Wi-Fi. So that became very useful.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, a lot of students, though, do buy the SIM cards. I've noticed throughout the different countries, so then you just, like, buy a plan with certain data, and then, which I could see being helpful when you're stranded and need GPS in the middle of the city, but I just relied on Wi-Fi, and I've been fine, so.
What was your biggest challenge about doing a Spanish immersion program?
I guess just planning everything. It's a lot of planning that goes into it, especially since I visited 5 out of the 6 schools. It was a lot of flights that I had to plan and what dates I wanted to start and if I wanted to be in a certain city for a certain festival that was going on at a certain time. So it was a lot of planning and just making sure, you know, being off from work and if I had enough money to stay for this long and all of those yeah. little things. So I think it was just a lot of planning beforehand. But once I started, it was fine.
Good.
Yeah.
Were there specific festivals that you did make sure you saw?
Actually, no. I wanted to. And the one person in particular that I was in communication with from Estella was really helpful and was trying to make that work. But it was just going to be more expensive to start like in Chile, then go to Argentina, then Peru. So I did okay. it the way I did. And it was just cheaper for me. But I was like,
good.
Yeah, I can always come back.
It's true.
Yeah.
That would be fun. Gives you reason to.
Exactly.
In retrospect, are you glad that you studied in multiple locations for just a couple weeks each?
I am. I was able to see more that way. And I'm glad that I did go to all 3 countries because the Spanish in all 3 countries is so very different, not mm-hmm. only in just the way they speak, but even words that they use. And so I'm glad I got like a snapshot of each of the cultures and versus just being in one country the whole time, which some people do and it's fine, but I'm glad that I got to see as much as I could.
Yeah. Which country fits your personality best or made you the most comfortable?
I would say Peru.
Okay.
Because my mom's Peruvian and I have family there.
Oh, that's
So,
perfect.
yeah, I got to meet family there that I had never met before, so that was really cool. And but just the language there, not being biased at all, but just the language there is a lot easier to understand their Spanish because they speak more slowly and they pronounce the words more clearly versus the other countries. So it was just an easy first country to start Spanish in.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
At school, do you like your grammar or conversation classes better, and why?
I like both. It's hard to say if I like one more than the other. I guess coming from a somewhat of a Spanish background, I guess I looked forward more to like the grammar classes because that's the foundation that I really was seeking and wanted. But I did like the conversation classes, I guess more because it allowed more room for flexibility. Like we played games and we listened to music and those kinds of things versus grammar was a little more serious, I
What area of Spanish is the most challenging for you to understand and use?
What area? I would say for me in particular, I think it was just the conjugation of the verbs and using them correctly when speaking. So, it's one thing being able to understand it in class and conjugate it on paper, but being able to speak it in the real world, it was just like, oh, wait a second here. So just the conjugation of verbs and being able to apply it in the real world.
I can sympathize with that.
Thank you.
And what about your professors made them helpful in learning Spanish?
I think a big thing that helped a lot was majority of them all spoke English fairly well. And so when I was really stuck with something and not understanding a certain rule, they were able to translate it in English and then I completely understood what was going on. So I thought that was a really useful tool that I didn't think I would have before coming here, So, but they only used it at the very last resort. They would try every way in Spanish to try to explain, but when I absolutely could not understand, then they would be like, okay, this is what it is. And I'm like, okay, great, thanks. So that was really helpful, but they all just really seem to have a passion for what they do, and that it's obvious through their teaching. So I really like that a lot.
Good.
Yeah.
What other types of people were in your Spanish classes?
I've seriously have met people from all around the world. From Europe, from Africa, from everywhere. So it's been really interesting and especially conversation classes where we'll be reading about politics and South America, and then we'll have to compare and contrast between politics in our own countries. So it's been a way to not only learn Spanish and the culture here, but to learn about the cultures in other countries. So something that I wouldn't have learned in a textbook back home.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And then, was it easy to make friends right away
It
from other students?
was. It was. And I feel like the activities do help with that a lot because you kind of only get to know really well the people that are in your level because you're with them 4 hours a day. But I like the activities a lot because you get to meet the other people from the other levels. And I thought it was fairly easy to meet people from the get-go.
Yeah. So what types of after-school activities did you do?
Sorry, say that again.
What types of after-school activities did you do?
I tried to participate in as many as I could. I'm typically not a big museum person, but I tried to do that area to learn more. But there is a bunch that ranged from like after school barbecue. Yesterday I just did like a wine tasting that was held at the school. There's been, yeah, museums, just visiting different points of interest in the cities. There's been weekend trips as well. So I've just tried to take advantage of that as much as possible. And it's nice that there's always one activity a week that's free, and then there's other ones at low cost. So I like that a lot.
Good. Yeah. Do you have a favorite activity or a couple of favorites that you did?
I think some that stand out. And when I was in Santiago, I went, it was like whitewater rafting, and that was
Oh,
one of the,
fun.
yeah, one of the weekend trips, and that was pretty awesome. Let me think, what else? Just anything that got everyone together, and it was just more relaxed after school because we weren't so focused on using every single rule, but it was like another way to practice in a more comfortable environment without our teachers saying, "Don't use English," or things like that. So they were all very fun. There's not one that I didn't like.
Even the museums.
Even the museums, I did learn something.
That's good.
Yes.
So, what type of person would be a bad fit for attending an Acela school?
Someone who doesn't like to meet new people, I would say, because that's very much a part of it. And like someone who, I guess, more introverted, like doesn't like to speak a lot, because that's a lot of what the conversation class is about, is like sharing your experiences, what it's like in your country, your family, things like that. So being like or liking to talk and meeting new people, and I guess someone who's not flexible would not be a good fit, because not only just for like school, but just traveling in general. For me, going to five or three different countries, but five different cities, you have to be extremely flexible because things happen. Your luggage might not arrive right on time for you to make your next part of your trip and things like that. So you just have to be calm and have a plan and a plan B and just know that everything will be okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That is
Yeah.
good advice.
Yeah.
What would you maybe change if you were the director of an Acela school?
That's a good question. All of the directors I've met, honestly, have been phenomenal, and they really do go above and beyond to making sure the students have enough information about activities or even extracurricular stuff that I pursued in Cusco related to my career visiting like a hospital there. So the director in Cusco helped me a lot with that, where he didn't have to, something not related to the school at all. But something I would, I don't know, change. I guess I would try to make some of the activities more mandatory, even though I feel like that's probably impossible, but especially just for like the new students, because not all students feel comfortable just going up to people and shaking their hand and introducing themselves. And so some students I saw kind of, were left out. And so I feel like as a director, to try just to making sure everyone is included and does some activity at least their first week just to meet other people. Because you never know, you might really hit it off with someone, or you might be from the same city, which has happened to me. I met someone here that was from my same city.
Oh my goodness.
And yeah, it's seriously a small world. So just making sure everyone feels included and does activities in like a less threatening way to meet people, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the whitewater rafting trip. Did you do any other longer weekend trips?
I did. Well, this wasn't directly through the school, but the school ended up helping me plan it. But I went to Iguazu Falls this last weekend, which was like about a less than a 2 hour flight from Buenos Aires to the northern part of Argentina. And a lot of the students were saying, "You have to go, you have to go," because it wasn't something I planned, and this is being the end of my trip. I've already spent enough money. But I was like, "Okay, I'll go." And I went, and I'm so glad I did. It was worth every penny to see those falls and to stay in that jungly area. So I'm really
Yeah.
glad I did it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you go alone or did anybody else go with
I
you?
went alone and I met great people there because a lot of the
Oh,
students
good.
that I've have met here in the school had already gone, and have already done a lot of like the excursions and stuff. So I was like, I'm just gonna go by myself because I'm closer
Kind of
here than I
nice.
am when I'm back in California.
Oh.
So it was
By
worth
a
it.
long shot.
Yeah.
Good. What form of transportation have you used in all the cities?
Me being from Southern California, we don't have a lot of public transportation, or we don't have any, I should say. So for me, using public transportation was like a foreign world, but I got accustomed to it pretty quickly. And of course, like the students that had been there before me, like kind of show the new students the way, which I really appreciated. So taking like the public buses, and even like the underground, like subway systems I've used. And
Nice.
taxis are very common to take in all three countries that I was in. So those three methods I think were the most popular.
What type of accommodations did you use?
I've stayed in host families the entire time, and I know there's other options for students to stay in like the shared housing or shared apartment, but I'm really glad I did the host families because it took my experience to the next level of being able to really meet a family and live how they live, you know, because you're eating on their schedule, you're eating their food that they're preparing for you, and you're just totally immersing yourself in the culture even further. And so it's been really interesting for me, and I think that's made my experience even better.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if all the places that you stayed, did you feel that the school locations and your homestay locations were safe as you went out?
Definitely. Even a lot of my host moms would take me, you know, I would arrive like on a Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening before I would start school that Monday in that new city. And the host moms would take me to school that Sunday evening just so I was familiar with the area. And I really mm-hmm. like that because I'm terrible with orientation. If I don't have like my GPS in my hand, then I'm going to get lost. So just the fact that they did that willingly and were happy to do it, they were adamant about doing it. Like, no, after dinner, I'm going to show you where the school is. That really helped a lot and eased my stress the next morning. But yeah, all of them, I was fairly close. It was, I think, in Vienna where I had to take, like, a bus to school. But, again, my host mom took me, so I felt completely comfortable, and I knew which bus to take, and I knew how much it was. And so, if anything, it was pretty easy. But I think my host mom's, like, helped ease that transition.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I have no sense of direction.
Yeah. So typical female.
Right? I know.
Dang it.
Oh, my goodness. Do you have a favorite or memorable Spanish word or phrase?
I would say yes. Because in Peru and Chile, the word coger, like to take, is okay. You can totally use that word there, and it's fine. But in Argentina, you cannot use that word.
Oh, no.
Because it has, like, a sexual meaning behind it. And so that was, like, one of, like, something, an eye-opener to me, because something that you can just use so simply in the supermarket or anywhere in Peru and Chile to use to take something or, you know, to pick up something, you can't use that here at all because it has that innuendo behind it. So that was a good lesson to me. And there's times in Buenos Aires that I want to use it, but I literally just stop talking because I can't think of another word to replace it. So I ended up just laughing, and then it's very funny.
So did they tell you ahead of time not to use that word, or did
yes.
you use it and then learn, like, oh, shouldn't use that one?
Right. I think it was in Cusco. I used it, and it was fine, but my teacher knew I was going to Buenos Aires, so she gave me the heads up there in Cusco. And so this whole time I've been, like, trying to, you know, be aware of it. But there's time, I'm just so used to using that word to get that point across. And here I have to think of like three other words that I can use instead. So it's hard because it's so habitual for me.
That is. But it's good to know.
It's good to know.
So how have all of the cultures to which you've been exposed help shape or change your worldview?
That's a great question. And I think that's like the take home message. I think it's changed my worldview because this is my first time in South America, and I think a lot of what we see in the States and in the U.S. is that it's, you know, it's dangerous, you know, you can't travel there alone, all this stuff, but it's very much, you know, there's good and bad things in every country in the world, I think, and as long as you are street smart, I think is very important, you're just fine. And it is another world because it's a different culture entirely, but it's people are nice all around the world and are willing to help you. Of course, there's bad people as well, so be careful.
Right.
But it's just, like I said, being street smart and I guess it's just been like realizing that there's good people all around this world. And even the fact that they are extremely poor and that they're willing to give you the shirt off their back, that has been really eye-opening to me, that these people have nothing, but they're willing to go do so much for you, you know, and are genuinely happy to do it. So I think that's been my like overall lesson, that there's good people in this world no matter where you go, and just to always be aware that something great could potentially happen at any moment.
Yeah, I think those are excellent parting words.
Perfect.
So, muchísimas gracias, Brittany. And you've given us some awesome insight into all of the locations in which you studied. Safe travels on your way home, and come back when you can.
Thank you very much.